If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about hoarders. Raymond, you like to hoard human body parts, is that right?
That's correct, yes. I have several fingers that I keep in the pantry. I keep the legs in one of the bedrooms.
You've legs, human legs.
I do, yes. Right. So when someone gets diabetes, sometimes they have to cut the leg off.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I'll come in. Sometimes they might give it to a dog, but if I beat the dog, I will come in and take the leg home with me.
Right. And now, do you have to ask the person whose leg it was for permission?
No, I don't.
So who are you getting it from?
The hospital.
They'll just give it to you direct.
Yeah, just give it to you straight away, because otherwise it goes into medical waste. And yeah. It's quite expensive to get rid of legs.
I can imagine, yeah. But does the person, do they not have a right to know that their leg is being kept by somebody?
No.
No?
Why would they need that?
They
didn't want the leg in the first place.
Well, it's not that they didn't want it necessarily.
One man's trash is another man's treasure, and that's what I say.
Yeah, so okay.
My treasure is legs.
Why did you start collecting human body parts?
Went back to when I was a wee boy and my parents run a department store.
Yeah.
And there were several mannequins in the department store, and it would be rare that the mannequin's legs would fall off, or any body part for that matter. But I was always intrigued by it. So whenever they did, I collected them.
Right.
And then it transitioned over to physical body parts when I worked as a hospital porter.
Right, okay.
And realised they were just giving these things away, so...
Yeah, and as you said, if it wasn't you, it was going to be a dog in the street or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And all you end up with then is super hounds and very strong dogs.
With a taste for human flesh.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No, that is dangerous. So you're kind of doing a service, I would say.
Exactly, exactly.
What's your end goal here? Like, what's your dream collection?
I would want probably 100 legs. I have got 67 at the moment.
Right.
Sometimes they come in pairs. Often they don't. And for every leg, I find a shoe that suits the leg. So I've got a substantial shoe collection as well.
Right. I want to bring on your brother, Billy. Billy says that the reason you're collecting human body parts is you want to create a person, a kind of Frankenstein's monster. Is that right, Billy?
It started off as a small suspicion, because I'd see him. He'd be a go just coming in at night, in the middle of the night, covered in mud or human blood, just with the legs. And he'd be like, oh, it's just me with my legs. But then when I would come down to make a cup of tea, or he'd think I was in bed, and I'd hear him speaking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And say,
was he speaking to the legs?
Yeah, he was. I got the impression it was a person, because he was, I looked through the crack, and it was kind of, it was like the Vitruvian man, but for every limb, it was just legs. And then where the space where a head should be was just a pillow with a smiley face drawn on it.
Okay, yeah.
And he's saying sweet nothings to it.
Right.
And saying it was beautiful, that he wanted to bring it to the cinema. And that didn't sit right with me.
No.
Something about that made me think.
I mean, that's a very disturbing image. How many legs did it have?
More than a human being should have four appendages.
Yeah.
An octopus should have eight.
Yeah.
We were on, it was a regular number. It was several.
Legs.
And several means less than seven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're talking probably about six.
And not all of the limbs were the same size.
Well, no, because they've come from different people. How do you respond to this, Ray? Do you admit that you're creating
I'm not gonna some kind of
leg
what my brother
mutant?
Saw? When I was a boy, we went to see James and the Giant Peach in the cinema. And there was a character in that who was a centipede. And I was enthralled with that particular character.
Yes.
They don't give away heads at the hospital. I'm not sure why. I haven't been able to source a head yet.
Okay.
But the body my brother saw was mainly legs.
My question is...
But what I don't understand what the problem is, exactly.
Because Centipede wasn't even the most attractive character in that film.
He was to me.
Well, that's subject. Yeah, I mean, that's
subjective. Feel like this is a conversation... Because the sexiest character on the Peach was, by far, the French spider. Centipede in my head was a brutish New York taxi cab driver who is a centipede.
Well, I think it's about who's achievable. And
are you trying to create a human with 100 legs? Is my question to you.
In short, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you not see that that's like an abomination?
Why would that be an abomination?
It's too many legs for a human.
Who are you to say how many legs is too many legs?
Setting that aside, I mean, do you not think that maybe it's playing God?
How would they sit in a chair?
How would they sit in a chair?
We need to adapt our chairs. Simple as that.
Oh, that's good.
How many legs does a chair have? Sometimes it's three, sometimes it's four, sometimes it could be five or six.
Or just one big one.
Or just one big leg, yes.
Wait, hang on a second, Billy, because I want to bring on the director of James and the Giant Peach, who's been listening in. Sorry, what's your name?
Henry Selleck.
Henry, what did you have to say? What did you have to add to this conversation?
I've just been listening to this conversation. A lot of great points made by both parties.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing coincidence he's listening.
I will say that the sexiest character in James and the Giant Peach is the Peach.
Right. I mean, it's there.
Bye.
Hello? No, he's gone. Food for thought, though.
I mean, the Peach was food for everybody.
Yeah.
But that's all art is subjective.
Yeah. That's the way. I don't know if there's any.
No, it's not subjective though.
What?
The laws of physics. As in, I love you. You're my brother. But I don't. See
I love you too very much.
Thank you. I'm glad we're finally having this conversation because I'm glad you have a hobby. I don't see how we get through. They never explain how he brought the body to life in the actual book of Frankenstein. Like that's a misunderstanding of the film. It's never explained in the text.
The electricity is not there.
It's not
the
in the book.
Lightning strikes or anything like that.
And she merely mentions the fact that electric experiments have been conducted on frogs. That's it.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand. I appreciate that you're looking for love or just companionship.
Oh, are you looking for love, Ray? I didn't realize that was your motivation.
I have many different suitors, but I have yet to find one with an appropriate number of legs.
Right, okay. So you're trying to create a partner with 100 legs.
Yeah, but there's several kind of ethical issues with that. Because
certainly
if I do create somebody to then marry them, is that incest? Am I... Or is that a god, human
I don't know
being
if that's
type
the
relationship?
Issue
I
you're
think it's
have.
Polygamy.
Oh, because there's so many legs involved.
I think it's polygamy and the divorce will be a mess.
Yeah.
But I still just don't... I'd rather... If you're going to spend hours and hours and hours down in the mortuary or the hospital or with the legs, I'd just rather you be on plenty of fish.
Right.
As in, I want to be able to go to a wedding with people.
Is there a version called Plenty of Legs?
Possibly on the dark web.
Is that a...
It could be on the dark web.
Is that a business?
I mean, is a solution to your issue to marry 100 people and just kind of create a pair of trousers with like 100 legs and they kind of all get into it together?
I mean, the laws in this country are very backward. You can only currently marry one person at a time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work there.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, you could go somewhere else and do this.
Where is that legal?
I don't know, but we do have the director on the line from James and the Giant Peach.
Hey, guys.
He might have some insight on that.
So it's Utah, so we can do that. Okay. We can marry loads of people. But the problem with marrying 100 people is statistically, one of them isn't the kid. So in essence, because they're all connected, you are marrying a human centipede of all. Bye.
Okay, I don't know about the percentages
about what
on that.
But he's gone.
He's gone. Okay, so... yeah, what do you think?
Do you
is that another solution?
No,
I'm saying is that another solution? The 100-legged, 100 people.
I'm not opposed to it. I would have to kill 99 people and sew all the legs on to that last one. So that does
no,
create a problem.
That's not what I'm suggesting. Okay, let me put it to you another way.
Can you ethically source your legs?
I have been doing it so far.
I would say
anything
that
that's unethical about the way I
source. I mean, if anyone's to blame there, it's the hospital for giving you them, I think, rather
Absolutely.
Than for you taking them. But Here's the big question. How are you going to surmount the head issue? If you can't get a head, you're stuck behind.
I've been experimenting with feet, that we might have 3 or 4 feet.
Instead of a head?
Yes, and maybe create a mouth with like a discarded anus. But there's still a few kinks I need to, iron out there. The smell being one of them. So.
Right, okay.
And theoretically, if you were to bring this person to life, would they be able to speak, or would every word they say simply be some form of fart? Have you thought this is what I mean?
We're still in development.
I'm very worried about you.
There's no cause for concern here. I think we need to just keep going with the experiments.
It is a little bit concerning, though. You can see that if this thing goes wrong, it could really backfire in a big way.
You got a C in junior shirt science.
Right. But that's because the Department of Education has a very limited view about what's possible.
Yeah, and probably frowns on this kind of thing specifically.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, listen, guys, it's been great talking to you. And thank you so much as well to the director of James and the Giant Peach for his contributions. Hopefully he'll dial back in some other time. I'm going to move on to another caller. Shawnee, we're talking about hoarding. We kind of got a little bit off the point in that last call. Shawnee, you're fed up with your wife hoarding stuff around the house. Is that right?
It's terrible. It's terrible. She's hoarding so much. Okay, so you walk in you come up to the house.
Yeah.
There's this goddamn thing there on a hinge. We don't need it, but she won't get rid of it. So that's got to stay.
The door?
Yeah. We've already got one at the back.
Back door?
Yeah. So but she's hoarding a front one too.
Okay.
You go in. There's a table. What's that about? You know, I can't. There's not room for me to do my thing.
What is it, like a dining room table or a kitchen table?
There's a table. There's some. I don't know all the technical terms. I'm not an educated man like you. I'm not some genius like you.
Okay.
I don't know all these terms. I just see a table. It's a table.
Okay, it's a table. That's fine.
Table. We have dinner at it.
Dinner table.
Slow down, please. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best. I'm a layman here.
So you're saying your house is too full up with stuff. To me, it might be stuff that would be in a lot of people's houses.
Why don't you just marry my wife?
I don't want to marry your wife.
Why not?
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Shawnee. Why do you need all this space?
I need it because I come back from work and I just want to just have a big dance around the place.
Right.
And there's a television. There's a sofa.
Yeah.
That's it. But I'm trying to dance around them.
See your problem.
I want to dance all over the place.
I can see your problem.
I got to get that bloody pressure out.
Yeah, yeah.
For a long day.
Well, what does your wife say when you ask her to get rid of all these things?
She said, I've already gotten everything except for the absolute bare essentials for life. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, this is, how can I stay with this person?
You're at
That's
an impasse.
I think they need to trade up. I think they need someone smarter, someone who went to college.
You know, I don't think it's like, a...
Maybe someone like...
No, I don't think it's an intelligence issue.
No, it is.
Just because you don't know what the difference between different tables are, it doesn't mean that you're not a...
Well, it's not
perfectly charming...
It?
What?
It's not impressive, is it? If a guy walked down to a pub and said, I don't know what the different types of tables are, you'd think this guy's an asshole.
No.
You're being too hard on yourself,
Shawnee.
No,
let's bring on your wife, Marie.
Hi.
Marie, I can see that this is a challenging situation for you.
It's just, I like to think of myself as someone who has a sense of style, and I would actually consider myself a minimalist.
Really? That's interesting.
We don't have that much stuff in the house.
Yeah.
It's just I feel when it comes to doing his thing, which is an ambiguous term, because some days it's different. Some days it's dancing.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's SoundCloud rapping. And then if I ask him to clarify, he shouts at me and he says, shut up, Marie.
Okay.
I'm doing my thing.
Now, SoundCloud rapping is just rapping and then uploading it to...
Yes, he doesn't have any fans. I'm his only follower.
Right. Well, I mean, art is its own reward. But you do have a new SoundCloud release, I believe.
Well, yeah. I've got to try and keep things. I don't perform music under my own name.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a controversial name.
Okay.
Con.
Con.
Controversial.
That's your name.
Controversial.
Yeah, and I do controversial raps.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if my lovely wife could give me a beat.
He's been. Okay, honey.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Please don't say the N word again.
I won't say that. Just control. The nincompoops next door gave out to me about saying that thing. We can hear you. You bloody nincompoop.
Is there a rap going up
there? There is, yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. Go. Yeah. Let's rejoin the union. Yeah, stupid fucking cunts. Let's burn the schools and give Gardaí loads of guns. Let's cancel Kirsten Dunst and send her to jail.
Well, hang on. Sorry. Stop. I was perfectly okay with everything else you said. Why are you going after Kirsten Dunst?
I think she married beneath her.
Who did she marry? I can't remember.
That man who looks kind of like... Matt Damon.
Oh, yes.
But he plays a menace in everything.
Yeah,
Jesse Plemons.
Jesse Plemons, yeah.
He thinks he's so good. Just because he was Paul Thomas Anderson, or it was Philip Seymour Hoffman's son in The Master.
Yeah.
And because he was in Friday Night Lights.
He was great in that.
He reminds me of the little boy from Home Alone if he grew up and was a menace.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Well, Kirsten Dunst has been listening in. She's on the line.
Oh my god. Hey guys.
Oh my god.
I really found that offensive.
Understandably, Kirsten.
I am an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
My husband is
an Oscar.
Yeah.
Your husband's a menace.
My husband is also an Oscar winner, and I don't see how that is marrying beneath me. Mm. I know a lot of people when I did the Spider-Man movie. I thought that I should marry Tobey Maguire, but we don't have a physical or sexual connection. So
he's a very sort of asexual kind of creature, Toby.
Yeah, and would only kiss me when he was upside down. So I mean,
on and off screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I need somebody who is on the ground. I need somebody
in every sense of the word,
but also someone who grounds me.
Yeah.
Like a parent.
No.
To ground you.
No, like an electric current.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Someone to help you do your thing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Look, you blew it, basically, Kirsten. You blew it. I wouldn't. No way.
But who are you to say that, Shawnee? She's happily married. Her husband's an Oscar winner.
I'm not calling into a radio show to tell people how terrible my marriage is.
She's got you there, Shawnee.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said my wife hoards things. Like, she's hoarding the washing machine.
Yeah,
Do we need that? She's hoarding a sink.
Well, hang on. I want to pick you up on something else you said. And Kirsten, thanks for coming on. And hopefully you can
join in. Thank you so much, you guys.
This aspect of the relationship as well.
I'm sorry I was so rude. I am a big fan of you and your husband. I think you're great.
Cool. All the Spider-Man films are on Netflix right now.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. I saw that. Great. Yeah, okay. But why should we rejoin the union?
This is just controversial.
I see what's happened here. You're just being controversial for the sake of you don't actually believe any of these things.
He doesn't
have a coherent political ideology. He votes for independence.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm a big men rights activist.
Right.
Except when it comes to, you know, the last bit where they kind of try and take over the country.
Well, look, all I'm hearing here is that you've got a wife who supports you with a beef.
Definitely, yeah.
Who tries to... tries to free up as much space as she can while still having a house that, you know, she's comfortable living
in. Maybe we just need a bigger house for me to do my job.
Well, that was going to be my suggestion. Or maybe you could rent, like, a space... A large hall somewhere, like a local community hall, and just do your stuff there.
But I have to get the keys off somebody, and then I have to turn on the lights, and I have to move chairs if there's chairs out.
Yeah.
So no one thinks I left the chairs there after I leave.
Yeah.
I just want to get in after a long day at the workplace I
Do you
I
have
frequent.
A big garden? Could you, like, I don't know, build a small, not small, like a large... outdoor area.
The garden is currently filled with most of the things he's thrown out of the window from inside the house. A verb known as defenestration. He says it's a man's right to do his thing. I think it's a woman's right to be able to store a week's worth of food in her cupboards.
Ridiculous.
Well, I know. I think a lot of people would agree with Marie there.
To just keep it in the glove compartment in the car with a bunch of ice.
Animals have started coming to the garden and the children are frightened. Mm.
Yeah. Children love animals. Animals will get to know the kids.
Not when it's like rats and bears.
There's
and
raccoons in the garden, and we don't even live in North America. I do not know where they came from.
What are they doing in this country?
Doing their thing, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing their thing.
Well, we've got another caller on the line, a man who's living in your garden. Ted, what are you doing there?
Hello. Yeah, I've been living in the garden since they threw out the stove. I've been passing by every so often. I'd maybe get a can of sweet corn into my pocket most mornings because he would have thrown all the stuff out of the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually everything I needed to live my life ended up in the garden. But it's gotten to a point now, and I know that I've probably taken advantage of these people, where I am frightened. I am frightened of what's going to happen, particularly with the wildlife that was mentioned by Marie earlier.
Yeah,
and the noise.
And the wild dogs. And the other people who live there. There's a whole community of us now.
Oh, really?
In this garden. And what I don't understand is why you continue to buy things if he just throws them out.
Do you want me to explain in the form of maybe a rap?
I
hit it, honey.
Yes.
Let's give Garth guns.
I'd agree with that,
Garth. Let's give Garth.
Hang on, stop. This is just you using this show as a vehicle to promote your rap music. That's got nothing to do with the question that Ted brought up.
I don't have access to the bank account. Because he threw my debit card out the window one day and one of the animals made
off. I actually do have access to the bank account as a result
you
of
found
that,
it.
Yes.
So he's been going to IKEA and he's been buying the things.
Right, so he's buying all this stuff and then himself throwing it out.
I think he gets sexual gratification from watching it go through the window.
Okay.
Like a purging, almost.
Is that true, Johnny?
Well, I have to get my sexual gratification somewhere.
I didn't get to go to school. Okay.
All right, well, like that's a separate...
I was too busy making space for you.
Well, look, we're
talking to a genius here. Maybe he can help us out. What should we do, Dave?
The people in the garden have begun to form a local government.
We have unionised, yes.
Oh, union, yes, okay. Well, look, I think the solution is simple. You know, just find somewhere else to do your dancing, bring the food and everything else back into the house.
But bring me with it because I will not...
Yeah, well, you have to obviously take in these people now who've become dependent on your food.
I consider you as a father figure.
Jesus,
and they have a union, so you don't want to mess with that.
I fear that soon they will overtake the house and we will become the garden people.
Mm, yeah, there is a danger if you don't get a handle on things, guys, that could happen.
Well, I'm stepping aside as mayor of the house. Dave, you're now the mayor.
No,
of the house.
I don't want to be mayor
of
the house.
My wife is co-mayor.
No.
I'm just a citizen now. I'm moving out to the garden.
All hail the mayor.
Well, it's not me, guys. I'm not going to be mayor. But
mayor.
Listen, I feel like we've made a lot of progress, and I want to thank you all for phoning it in. Thank you.
The Podcast Studios is the home of the Headstuff Podcast Network. It's where lots of our shows are recorded, and we work on editing, promotion, videos, live shows, and lots more. As a podcast production company with 3 state-of-the-art studios for audio and video in Dublin City Centre, we can work with you to tell great stories in a professional and engaging way. From government organisations to charities, arts groups to international brands, entrepreneurs to hobbyists, we've worked with everybody, and we can help you to get the word out. Whether you need studio time, you're hosting a live stream or webinar, or you need support with editing or marketing, we can tailor a package for you. For more info, head to thepodcaststudios.ie.
If you like this show, please support it. The best way you can do that is by leaving a review for us on iTunes, posting about us on social media, or just telling some friends about the show. If you can afford it, you can also support the show financially through Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll get access to a heap of bonus content from every single show on the Headstuff Network. That includes new hilarious bonus episodes of this show, which are released every other week. If you can afford it, head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. My guest in the studio today is Marion Furmany, one of the stars of last summer's runaway hit reality show, A Quiet Love, where prospective couples are gagged on their dates and are unable to speak to each other until after they've agreed to get married. Welcome to the show, Marion.
Hi, thanks very much for having me on.
Marion, it was a joy to watch you in A Quiet Love. Obviously not to hear you because you didn't do much talking.
Yeah.
But you did find love in the facility. Do you want to tell us about it?
I did. So I signed up to the show because I felt lonely. Yeah. And a lot of people told me that my voice is horrible and it sounds like nails on a blackboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought it would be really nice to get to know somebody without them running away the second they heard me.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. People hear your voice and they just form an opinion about you and yeah, it's game over.
All the dogs in the area go absolutely crazy as well. Because my voice hits frequencies that are unusual.
No, it's hard. Like it's hard to listen to you speak.
I know. And apologies to your listeners. But yeah, I applied for it and I was bound and gagged. They took me from my house in the middle of the night and I was put in a cabin in the woods with 30 prospective men.
Yeah.
And none of us said anything to each other for a week. And I chose the man who I enjoyed not speaking to, but we had a
gesturing
system, and gesturing and tapping
and
things like that. Yeah. And he smelled the nicest after 10 days.
Tell me a little bit about Podge. How you're married now, obviously, because that was part of the show.
Yes, we had a silent wedding.
Yeah.
Which is very confusing. There was somebody who was going to object to the marriage on the basis that Podge had been married already. But there's obviously no cue, so they missed it altogether.
Okay.
Which
might have been a cue, but it wasn't a verbal cue.
It suited me down to the ground, to be very honest with you. But Podge is a civil engineer. Okay. He builds bridges. Not just between different sides of rivers, but between communities.
Yeah.
He volunteers a lot. And
so are these metaphorical bridges then, or?
Both physical and metaphorical, and sometimes the pair of them, sometimes the two. You know, there's sometimes towns where both sides of the rivers don't get on, but when you build a bridge, those relationships can then form.
Yeah. So, well, I want to bring on Podge because he's gonna join us.
Hello, hey baby, how are you?
I'm great, sweet cheeks.
Podge, what made you want to go on A Quiet Love?
Well, I wanted to find a quiet love, and I wanted, you know, and how lucky was I?
Yeah.
To you know, be one of the 30.
Yeah.
To be the one. Well, I wasn't looking for one in a million. I was looking to be one in 30.
Yeah.
And I achieved that.
Now, when you heard Marion's voice for the first time, were you not appalled and?
Well, Marion said her voice sounds like nails on a chalkboard, but I once heard...
Which I think is generous.
I once heard Jimmy Nail freak out on a Concorde.
Right.
That was much worse. Right. That was much more unpleasant.
What made him freak out on
a Concorde? He didn't know what a Concorde... He was like, how does this work? It goes at the speed of what? And he just kept asking questions and said, this is too big to fly.
Yeah.
This is too big to fly. And then someone said, well, you could say the same thing about a bee. And then, what do you mean? It's like aerodynamically, they're too big to be able to fly.
Yes.
Neil said, well, how the fuck do they fly then? And I said, I don't
know.
Just
lost
it. How are we flying? And he just lost it. Yeah, he went nuts. So, her voice is...
You love her voice.
Charming compared to Jimmy Neil freaking out on the Concorde.
Fair enough. What was your relationship like with the other male contestants on the show? Because obviously you couldn't speak to them either.
Yeah, but you know, we can kind of look at each other and you know, I just kind of nodded them to say, like, I'm not going to hurt you guys, but you know, there's only one Mount Olympus of love in here, and it's me.
Right. So you felt you had to assert your dominance, kind of.
I think it just generally put out a very sexy vibe.
Sexy vibes, yeah.
People know that, you know, I'm also, there's no conflict. As Marion was saying, I'm all about building bridges.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were there's the Gwelgors and the Juggalos in our in the camp. That's what it was broken into of the 30 guys.
And that's what I told producers as well, my type was.
Gwelgors.
Half Juggalos.
And several civil engineers as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to bring on the host of the show, Davina McCall. Davina, you were the presenter of the show. It was also your idea. What were some of the weirder things that you saw on the show, the weirder dates?
It's not the first reality TV show I've done before. Big Brother was definitely weirder. We had a lot more people on, but it was my own one because my female friends have all been getting married lately, and I wanted to see if the most boring amongst them could find love too. So we found this shrill woman from some bizarre place in Ireland with the most disgusting accent to ever ring in the British public's ears. And we put her in a house with a load of juggalos and Gael Gores, whichever that is. I loved it. One of the contestants was actually not a juggalo. They were a mime. We just thought they were a juggalo based on the makeup. So he got on swimmingly. I thought he had the most sex appeal personally. But after the show ended, he still continued to not speak.
Well, this is a show that's perfectly suited to a mime. You think he would have such an advantage on the dates?
I didn't like it.
No?
I didn't like it.
Why?
The mime or the show?
The mime. There was an incident about 5 days in where all the men started headbutting each other. And the mime did not partake in the headbutting. And I just thought, what are you?
Yeah.
Are you a man or what's going on here?
Yeah,
I will say the invisible man he was headbutting, he did with such grace. Pierre Labouche, I think, is the greatest mime in mime history.
Right.
I come out of that.
Oh, wait, you disagree?
Oh, sorry, I was talking to somebody else.
Okay, sorry.
You say Pierre Labouche, he's my man,
I think we can all agree.
You and Pierre Labouche were actually voted by the public to be have the most sexual chemistry.
We're just, very easy on the eye. People, like to think, ooh, I'd like it if he carried me up to bed. If I'd had a few too many drinks, because he'd,
lay me down my side of the bed next to my phone, and he'd be gentle.
Yeah.
This is not then me. I just leave the room, close the door, lock it, put the key underneath it, so they've got the key.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Okay, cool.
Pierre Labouche touch is so gentle, I think he may be able to manipulate air. As in, it feels like making eye contact with him from afar feels like he's caressing your face through the television.
Wow, that must have. But you weren't taken by it.
No, I wasn't. I thought it was very show offy, you know, and not in a good way. So I just thought I'd rather be with somebody who deals with the real and deals with reality. I mean, for most of his time in the shed, Pierre was trapped in a box of his own making. And in which case it was very hard to communicate with him because he just refused to listen or to even look at me. So
right,
and also you don't like horizontal lines.
Hate it. Absolutely hate them. Yeah.
Some viewers interpreted that as a metaphor for masculinity. Being trapped in a box of your own making.
Yes.
Fascinating stuff. Marianne, however, has been accused of certain diva behaviour on set.
Okay.
Not that she was very demanding. Purely through sign language,
right?
Which she does not know ASL,
right?
So her demands were ambiguous at best.
Yeah, yeah.
People were confused whether she wanted a bowl full of blue M&Ms or a bowl full of red M&Ms, or she would not come on set to flirt with the silent men.
Right. So, and you're saying that she was like the equivalent of somebody shouting loudly in a foreign language, basically. You have no idea what they want.
Yes.
Sorry, can I just jump in on my wife's defense?
Of course, Paul.
She wants to be able to have, the sweets that she wants. And if she doesn't get them, her love language might be spitting in people's faces. But
my particular love language is flailing.
Flailing?
Flailing.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of flailing in there. But I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be somebody else. I mean, I was invited on because of my personality. And I'm not afraid to step on toes, either physically or metaphorically.
Mm.
So I don't understand why, Davina, that would be a problem for you if it's good television.
The producers and me at one point, we were concerned because flailing is also an abstract love language. So abstract, we thought she was having a seizure.
I can see how that's problematic for you guys because you've got a duty of care to Marion. Can you see why that's problematic?
Flailing.
Yeah, if it's going to be misconstrued.
Well, we're on
a seizure.
It depends on how you interpret the flailing. I was asking a lot of the time, they didn't give it to me now, I was asking for a vegetable spiralizer.
Okay.
For the action is this. And
you might need to describe that to our listeners.
Yes, it was kind of two fingers into an open hand.
Into an open hand.
Yeah. Because you'd spiralize a courgette. Yes. Like
which
that.
Made the juggalos go insane.
Why?
They're very literal people.
Okay, yeah.
Literal people. Then any sexual kind of action...
Which, what's sexual about that?
It sends them into jug mode, in which they...
one was jugging off to that. None of the guys.
I wanted to ask, Podge, are you a juggler, a juggalo and a Gaelgor?
Yeah, well, I traverse both both borders.
Right. And, bringing communities together,
yes. Right. And, you know, me and my flailing wife. Although I'd rather have a flailing wife than a wailing wife who's into wailing.
That's not good for anybody. Or verbally wailing.
Did you not like Muslims?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Right. I'm just saying your wife's voice is so...
Could you just clarify that into the microphone?
I have no problem with Muslims at all. I'm saying your wife's voice is so shrill as it is.
Yeah.
I'd be kind of afraid to hear her wail.
Well, there's other things to be afraid of, you know.
But not Muslims, just to make that clear.
Yes. You said that.
I did say that.
And I think that's good.
Yeah, because we're building bridges between
communities.
Yeah. Well, guys, I'm afraid we are out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Jazz Brody, Michael Fry, and Niall Keane. Guys, do you have anyone to plug? Jazz?
I have a small role in Conor O'Toole's movie, Bicycle Thieves Pumped Up, starring Roxana McLean,
who's a regular guest.
Friend of this show, and hilarious person. And so that's going to be available to stream.
Cool.
So Bicycle Thieves Pumped Up. It's got loads of funny Irish people in it. It's great. It's great crack.
I've seen the trailers. It looks brilliant.
Yeah. If you thought the trailers were good, the movie's really fun. So yeah, support Irish comedy. Funny and made by funny, cool, nice people.
Cool. And it looked like it was sort of made like on a shoestring, pulling in like favors from friends and a lot of goodwill went into it.
So much goodwill and so many. Conor O'Toole is a terrific stand up. He's been doing. Conor went to Edinburgh when he was 18. That was his first year doing Edinburgh. And so he's been like a stand up since he was a literal child.
Wow.
And Bicycle Thieves was made the last year he was living in Dublin. And before he moved to Glasgow, so he called in every single favour he had. Although people love Connor, so they're happy to
he called in all the favours and then legged it.
Got the hell out of there. Yeah, but it's got loads of funny people like Alison Spittle's in it and Tony Cantwell's in it and Owen Colgan is in it playing a romantic, Roxana's romantic interest. And he's great as a romantic lead. He's so good. So yeah, Bicycle Thieves Pumped Up. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely want to see it. Michael?
Yeah, I am in a morning show type parody series that'll air on Tony Cantwell's YouTube and Instagram channel. So it's called Get Up to Fuck, and it stars and was written by myself, Shane Dan Byrne, Tony Cantwell, Killian Sunderman, Emma Doran, Justine Stafford, Martin Angola, and Peter McGann. So quite an Avengers Endgame of Irish comedy, I think. But it's good crack. It's mostly improv that we've kind of sewn together kind of loosely into plots and things like that. So it was a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see, because like we filmed it in October, so it only just came out, so I can't wait to see the rest of the episodes.
I've seen the first one. It's hilarious.
It's pretty good. So you can find that on Tony's Instagram and YouTube, and you can follow me on at Big Dirty Fry across all platforms.
Brilliant. Thank you. Niall, do you have anything you want to plug?
There's a big show in the Sugar Club on the 30th of June, which I have no idea when this is coming out, so maybe we'll be gone by then. Queer Cabaret every 2 months, but I'm not in charge of that, so there you go.
You still give it a plug, that. That's great, guys. Thanks again, and thank you to the Headstuff Podcast Network for having us, and to Bobby Hearn for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.